Now I talk about this scary topic of formal education. When people say formal, people usually talk about formal attire, formal speech, formal ceremony, fanfare. But the formal informal verification comes from formalized mathematics. In usual mathematics, something is written on paper, and the mathematician reads it, and she gets an idea, some idea, and she can say perhaps correct but boring. In formalized mathematics, something is written in a computer file, and the machine reads it. The machine has no idea, I guess, but it says correct by just looking at the form of what's written in it. And this form is what this formalized mathematics is about. This is great for smart contract verification, because usually when you try to prove smart contracts correct, it's a massive case analysis. If any data is sent from the Quora, if any value is sent from the Quora, if the sent data matches function signatures or not, what's in the storage, what's not in the storage. So it's massive case analysis, and usual mathematician would be unable to read it because it's too boring for her. Formal proofs on Twitter. So this formal something, you can access it on Twitter. You can, so there is a bot. It's here, it's written here, IPC bot. You can send a message, okay, you can tweet to it, you can send a formula, and it says provable or not provable. And when it's provable, it shows you some proofs in a figure.
Did you like that, the IPC bot?
A friend of mine.
Okay.
But this, the same figures are already there in 1934. This is originally a German technology by Gerhard Genten. Every mathematical logician have to read that. And then, yeah, the figure here, there was this thing, no, that thing. So there are rules like und einfügung, und beseitigung. So it's called an introduction because on the upper side there's no and symbol. On the bottom side we have an and symbol. And it's saying that if you have a proof of A and if you have a proof of B, you can construct a proof of A und B. And this is Einführung, and you can remove this ampersand and this is Beseitigung. So on the upper side you have an on the bottom part you don't have it, and when you have a proof of A und B, you can have you can construct a proof of A or B, if you wish, as whichever you wish. And similarly, there's all the Einführung. When you have a proof of A, you can construct a proof of A or the B from it. So this guy is great because Genten created this system, and this is still used today. This is the most common proof system used today. This is the basis of Haskell OCaml and almost all modern logics. No, I went back, sorry. Yes, so there are good rules and bad rules. These und Einführung and und Beseitigung, they are good rules because they don't allow you to smuggle things into your proofs. When you have a proof of A, then you have a proof of B, you can get a proof of A and B, but the only thing you can do with it is to introduce B or A, and you already had it in the beginning, so nothing new happened here. But on the right hand side, there are bad rules. It's called tonk. conk introduction is the same as OR introduction. When you have a proof of A, you can have a proof of A conk B, and conk elimination is the same as AND elimination, and when you have A conk B, you can get a proof of B. And these rules allow you to smuggle new propositions into your proof, and you can prove false from truth or something like that. And it's all about the harmony of introduction and elimination. And then, what would be the proof rules, inference rules for solidity programs? And here I meet a problem, because usually, okay, well, people read solidity code and get an idea and says this works or this doesn't work, but who told you that solidity programs are executed from top to bottom? That solidity documentation does not say it. Might be bottom to top. Maybe you say from experiences you tested lots of solidity codes and so on, but then you are actually relying on the compiler. So the problem here is when you read the solidity code, you might get a different idea from what happens actually when you compile and deploy the code. So I chose just to use the solidity compiler as my guidance. So the solidity compiler knows the meaning of a solidity code. I get an EVM bytecode. Then I meet a similar problem. What are inference rules for EVM bytecode? Then actually I can answer. Inference rules would look like this. If your EVM, Ethereum virtual machine, is at the second position and the set stack element is 0x60, if you know this state does not go wrong, then from this you can infer that an EVM machine at the first position with stack empty does not go wrong, because the only thing it can do is either go out of gas or go one step to the original, the second position I talked about. So this kind of inference rules are good for Ethereum virtual machine. I cheated a bit. Why did I treat Solidity and the Ethereum virtual machine differently? Because just if there is a spec or not, and if the spec is written in a more machine readable way, it's better. There's one programming language whose spec authoritative is written for theorem provers. It's called KKML. That's the best language to prove programs on. And then there are some programming languages whose specifications are translated into proof checkers, C11, slightly old JavaScript. There are some languages with spec with mathematical definitions. Maybe they are easier to translate into proof checkers. And there are languages for English on these specs and so on. And I found the EVM a little bit, maybe more easier to deal with than Solidity. Of course, there are problems in the EVM specification in the other paper, so I've been opening some pull requests to the yellow paper repository, but this is manageable. And this is manageable. I knew that because many Ethereum client implementers already looked at it and found the problems, and the document is alive. So I just had to implement another Ethereum virtual machine in a theorem prover. It took like 50 pages in typeset in A4 papers. But it's kind of easy, so hop removes the top element of the stack and changes the top stack at the bottom. The stack is changed to the tail of the stack and so on. And then When you want to verify a program, you have to paste your program in a proof checker. There's nothing deep in it, it's just huge. You just have to copy and paste it. Actually, this poses some problems in the proof checker Isabel Hall because, looking up an instruction from this disk took so too much time. So I had to transform it into a binary tree, but it's just bureaucracy. And then this is the most important question when you want to do formal verification. In the end, what do you want? You have to say what you want. And the first option is the account should do expected things. And for that, I have to interview the people who wrote this and what we expect. And this is not easy because the question is very informal. What do you want? But my requirement for the answer is very detailed. I have to type it into a proof checker, so I ask a very informal question and I expect a very detailed answer, and that's not easy to conduct. At least I have to show something working before I do something else. So the second choice is the account shouldn't do things wrong. And usually for SLM smart contracts, the balance shouldn't decrease unless an authorized account tells so. And with this, a non-authorized account cannot make itself authorized or make anybody else authorized, because that kind of makes the first point meaningless. So I have to type these conditions in the proof checker. It's straightforward. The characters are small, but it's saying the storage index 0 does not contain the caller's address. This part is for non-authorized. The deed contract is still marked active and so on. Under these conditions, the expectation is that the balance does not decrease. I tried to prove this once and I failed because I forgot to say one condition in the precondition. So I forgot to say the account is still active and then the proof fails. So I know that something is wrong. And then after typing in your requirement, what you wish, you have to prove that thing yourself. This is just straightforward. You have to type things on the upper pane, and the lower pane is just the machine's responses. And here the machine is responding some very long proof goal, but I find an if sentence in the middle of the goal saying, okay, well, now it wants to do case analysis on if the sent data is empty or not empty. Actually, whenever you try to verify a smart contract generated by Solidity, it's the first question, if the call data is empty or not. So I tell it, do a case analysis on this, and it splits the cases, and then I have to prove two goals. If the sent data is empty, the requirements hold. If the sent data is non-empty, the requirements hold. And with this, with the usual inference rules, I get the result. So I have to just repeat this case analysis until all cases finish. And then the post conditions hold. And then after I finish this, okay, now the machine is convinced that the theorem holds. There's still a question, does this match the reality? The next thing I have to do is I have to test my own EVM implementation against the usual standard virtual machine tests for which CPP client Ukrainian and Rust or variety. So they were compared with standard test, and I have to use this virtual machine test to try my EVM implementation in this theorem prover. If this is wrong, I mean, this theorem is garbage because it's about some other machine. So I really have to do this. If you think you can do better, there will be a workshop about... Actually, this is not just about program verification. This is